Hoffman
and Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM.
Good morning, Scott. You know, I missed you last week.
Where were you?
I was in Savannah, Georgia. But I'm glad I'm back because we have a terrific guest today. I'm really psyched, you know, and I know you're psyched because you know Dominic Canese for a long time, right?
Right.
Tell me about your experience with Dominic.
Well, I met him back in the late 90s when I was working at BMG and Arista Records, and we started working with placing music on TV shows. And we reached out to David Chase's team at The Sopranos, and we invited them down to a showcase I think we had for the Eurythmics, Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart. And Dominic and I'm trying to think who came. Dominic Chianese came, Lorraine Bracco, Michael Imperiole, Big Pussy Bompensero, the actor that played that him, and Paulie Walnuts came to this event. And Dominic and I started speaking at the event, and quite frankly, we pretty much hit it off. And that started what is now almost, I want to say, 17 or 18 years of a friendship.
That's incredible. But you know what's amazing? You talk about the characters on the show like they were real people. And I think part of that is because The Sopranos, and for our listeners, Dominic played Uncle Junior, Corrado Soprano. You know, that show is considered, probably one of the greatest drama shows of all time on TV. Won tons of Emmys. But I'm excited to have him on and have our listeners get to meet Mr. Canese, and an actor and known for a number of roles, which we'll talk about him over the show, but he's also an entertainer, a singer, a musician, and you recorded and produced one of his albums.
Yep, and that's how we got involved with each other, was working on music, and that's his number one passion. So
watching The Sopranos was like eavesdropping on a neighborhood family. It was like looking at somebody's window and listening to it. Because putting aside the crime element, I mean, it had all of the same strife and conflict and love and loyalties and betrayals. It seemed all natural and real to me. I think that was one of the major attractions. And a character like Uncle Junior just fit in. It was somebody you felt
Corrado.
You knew.
And talk about his character going to a new level towards the last season when Uncle Junior was, adrift with Alzheimer's and dementia. I mean, this was an area of the character that Dominic only dreamed of going to.
Sure.
And has done some amazing things. We should talk to him about that.
And I'm going to ask him, because I always wondered how demented he really was and how much the character really knew what was going on.
he's such a good actor.
You
couldn't tell. He's great. Let's dial him up.
Let's dial him up and get him on. I got a million questions for him.
And if we're lucky, he may sing us a song. We'll see. Dominic, you're on the phone with Arnie Sherman, my partner in crime, and
great.
Me.
Arnie.
Mr. Canese, it's a pleasure. I'm a Bronx boy myself.
Oh, God bless you.
Before you came on, we were just talking about having Charlotte Russe's on Bruckner Boulevard.
Bruckner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was my old neighborhood as a kid growing up.
Well, you lived in the Bronx.
Yes.
What street?
I was born on Hoe Avenue. It's not even there anymore.
Oh, it's there. That's right near the Bronx Park.
Yeah, well, that's where I was born.
I used to go there. All the Jewish ladies say, hello, how are you? Southern Boulevard. Yeah,
Hoe Avenue. Southern Boulevard. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, gosh. You know, there used to be a Yiddish theater there.
I know that. I heard the stories from my parents and my grandparents.
Oh, God. I went in there once as a boy.
And when was this?
They probably thought I was Jewish. They let me in.
Yeah.
And everybody was laughing on the stage. They were doing comedy. I think it was one of my first introductions to theater, in a sense.
Dominic, give us a little backstory. Tell us where you were born and where you did grow up.
I was born like about 8 blocks from Hoe Avenue, 187th Street.
Right.
751 East 187th, right off Southern Boulevard. Hoe Avenue was off Southern Boulevard.
That's correct.
Wow, that's great, Arnie.
Yeah,
isn't that something?
We were just talking about the old days and the old neighborhood, and to some extent, the characters in a lot, in The Sopranos and Broadwalk Boulevard were people that were very reminiscent of people you ran into every day in the old neighborhood.
Definitely, yeah, definitely, because that's where that's where you had, you know, the generations, the sons and daughters of immigrants were growing up. And the guys were, some of the guys had to turn to crime to make money.
Right.
That kind of thing. A very small percentage, thank God.
Right. Only a few of them made it onto The Sopranos. I know that, what, Tony Sirico had a criminal record, right? He had arrested...
I think he was up... When he was a kid, he robbed something, I think. But Tony has... Tony exaggerates.
Well, I did my research, and it said he was arrested 28 times, and he did time twice, if you can believe
that.
Well,
I wouldn't know.
But he
was from Brooklyn.
That's right. That's a totally different background.
Yes.
Totally different background.
So Dominic grew up in the Bronx, okay?
Right.
Now, his parents, now they came, they were also, were they first generation, Dominic, or?
My parents? First generation, yeah. They were born here in New York.
That's right.
My grandpa came here in 1904.
That's when my grandfather, their family came in 1904 from Russia.
Yeah, that's a big demographic. There were 2 million Italians. And 2 million Jews came in those years,
yeah.
Maybe 1898 to 1908.
Yeah, tremendous amount of immigration at that point.
They came together about the same time.
So what did your father do for work?
My father was a master bricklayer.
A
master craftsman.
Did he try to get you into the into that?
He was.
Were you?
He did.
Yeah, I did that too for 2 years. Oh, yeah.
Dominic, that's right. Your first job was doing that, right? Or you didn't get into the theater until a little later, right?
No, I went to the theater when I was 21.
Okay.
I went down to the village, yeah. I started doing bricklaying when I was 18. I went into the Marine Reserves on the summertime, and then I came home and I went to see my father. I worked with my father for a couple of years. Then I got into showbiz, and of course I worked with him again later because, you know, early showbiz, there wasn't much work.
Right.
But I learned how to act with the Gilbert and Sullivan American Savoyards Company in 1952.
Okay.
I got a contract to work with them as a chorus singer. That was my first professional job. But from 1950 to 1960, I did a lot of bricklaying and a lot of, you know,
And what did your family think about you getting into the entertainment world?
My mother never said anything. I could have been anything. My mother would have been. She never criticized. My father wanted me to be a school teacher.
Right.
He thought I was, and he was right. I found out now. I'm in my 80s. I found out he's right. I love teaching more than anything.
Isn't
that remarkable?
Didn't you teach for a while there? Or, and that's how you met your first wife, right? Tell me the story.
I met Merle in Brooklyn College.
Okay.
She was my first legitimate wife. I had a couple of annulments before that. If you want to get into marriages, we're going to be here all night.
No,
we won't get into it.
No, I don't mind.
Okay.
I met Merle at Brooklyn College. I was 30 years old. I was 29. She was like 20. You know, but at Brooklyn College, it was very important for my acting career.
Right.
And why is that?
Because I had the great teachers. They had Wilson Lehrer and Bernie Barrow. Great teachers. And they put me in plays. And I learned that I had a lot to learn, you know.
Right. Sure.
And
so what do you consider your big break? Was it at Oliver in 65? Was that something?
He started acting in 1951, right?
And right, doing Gilbert and Sullivan in
52,
The Village.
52. So 10 years doing that. And then you get into the 60s, right? And when you were in the 60s.
Well, the 60s when I learned, I moved, I was living down the village.
Right.
I got married to Merle, but I was going to acting HB Studios. And in 1963, I learned the breakthrough in acting. Of course, Walt Whitcover, one of the teachers that taught me that, you know, I knew how to do comedy, I knew how to do music, but I didn't know how to do the dramatic stuff. I was blocked emotionally.
Huh.
And so in 63, I learned to unblock.
Who is this teacher that brought this out?
Walt Whitcover. He just died 2 years ago.
Sure.
He has a book out called Living on Stage.
Wow.
Whitcover, W-I-T-C-O-V for Victor, E-R, Walt Whitcover.
Good for brilliant, our listeners to read that.
But and so, Dom, you were so then that was in the mid-60s, and then you're doing at the HB Studios, and then you started to do some television. Isn't that right? Like in the latter part of the 60s?
Yeah, my first acting job was 63. George C. Scott, who because I knew him from working in a bank with him, got me on his CBS show, East Side, West Side.
Right, I remember that show.
Yeah, it was actually one episode, and I didn't even have any lines, but it was an important part, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was like a sleazy kind of guy who was trying to make out with Louise Troy. and it also was, what's her name's first job, too? Famous black actress now. Cicely Tyson was her first job, too.
Wow.
It was 1963. Thanks to George, he got me on his show. That sort of gave me a little bit, you know. But then I went into, in the 60s, I did some off-Broadway, a lot of stuff off-Broadway and stuff.
Right. But it wasn't until you were in your 40s until you get cast as Johnny Ola in Godfather 2, right?
Oh, yeah. I was 42 when I was cast, yeah.
How did that happen? How did you get cast in that role? I mean, it was a small role, but it was such an important, pivotal role in the plot line of that movie.
It was probably because I was hanging around with an actor's studio. I wasn't a member, but I was hanging around there. And I knew Al. Somebody must have said something. And some casting agent said they're doing Godfather. I didn't know what the heck it was. I thought it was a musical. I wasn't sure what the other one. So I went to the Paramount, and I met Francis Coppola. And I had the right look. I was the right age. I was Italian. He asked me a lot of questions, and then he didn't use me. But he wanted me to this is the first one, Godfather 1.
Yeah, Godfather 1.
But meanwhile, I had gotten a job as a jury member up in Boston in a play called Scratch that was going to go to Broadway. It did go to Broadway for a little bit. So I was in a Broadway play, and I had never done movies. And so when they asked me to come back to New York to read for, I didn't have the money, and I didn't go, you know.
Wow.
They weren't going to send a limousine for, you know.
But that's the beauty thing of this.
Right.
But he remembered me. Thank God he remembered me. So when he did Godfather 2, he called me, and he told me that he wanted me to use me. He didn't tell me which role. It was probably either the Abe Vigoda role or God Bless His Soul.
Yes.
He just
died,
Abe. Or maybe Salazar. It was one of the bad guys.
Right.
But when Johnny Ola came along, he called me.
Such a great pivotal piece of that saga.
Well, what's interesting? So Dominic gets that role in The Godfather. That's a huge break into movies. But the whole while, music is always part of his life, right, Dominic?
Always.
From the early
always,
days,
yeah, because in the '60s, I got a job. My marriage didn't work out, and I'd gotten a job at Folk City.
30s.
We just did a Folk City exhibit at the Museum of the City of New York, and I'm involved with that. So I started learning about, I started emceeing.
Right.
I got a job. Mike Porco gave me a job as the MC, and that helped me survive, and it kept me in the loop, so to speak, you know.
Sure.
I picked up the guitar, learned how to, and I've always wanted to sing anyway, you know. So it kept me going. And then the next big thing after that was Godfather. And after Godfather, things started. I came back to New York, and things went downhill for about three years, horrible years. My second marriage broke up. Let's see. And then I got invited to the O'Neill Conference, where playwrights and actors get together every summer. And that saved my life. 1978, I went up there.
Right.
So that helped me, too, because that gave me a chance to work with the best actors around and with scripts, and I learned about character. And
But Dog Day Afternoon was in 75, right? That was, or 74.
Yeah, that's after Godfather. That's when I came back. I didn't, but if I had to do it over again, I probably would have gotten a good agent or something, you know. But I had a very good agent, Jeff Hunter. He was a great agent.
Right.
Jeff, I think, just finally retiring from. I was really into a lot of things.
Right. So you were in two movies. I'm curious. You were in Godfather 2. You had a pivotal role that was related to Fredo, and that was John Cassale. In Dog Day Afternoon, you played Al Pacino's father, right? Sonny's father.
Yeah, well, Al got me. Al was very big in my life because he got me to meet Sidney Lumet. Sidney took one look at me, and I looked older then than I do now. And he said, you can play Al's father. And he had this wonderful line in the show that said, why rob a bank when you got a sucker for a mother?
Right.
You know?
But John Cassell was in that. He's always was an interesting actor to me. He had a very short career, obviously, you know, because he passed away too young. But what kind of, you know, as you interacted or saw him perform, what kind of vibes did he set off? He looked to me to be a very intense guy.
I didn't have any scenes with, believe it or not, even though we were related character-wise.
Right.
I never had any scenes with Johnny. But Johnny came up to me one time. He was walking with Meryl Streep in the Village, and he introduced her. I said, hello. She was at Yale or something. And he said, Israel Horovitz wants to talk to you. He wants you to do something. I said, well, why don't you do it? He said, I can't do it. He didn't tell me that he was sick.
Uh-huh.
But he was a caring person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seemed to be intense, but you know, we were all intense in those days.
Well, obviously, I mean, you did what, four films with Pacino? I mean, you did those two. You were Looking for Richard, right? That was one of the other ones that you did with him.
Well, that was later on.
Right.
That was later on. That was a film thing. But I'm talking about the stage. Working with Israel Horovitz in
right.
his trilogy at the studio was really big mm-hmm. in my life because it gave me a chance to prove that I could act, you know, to myself and to others. And That was important.
Was it more rewarding to be on the stage and having the live audience than doing the movie and
yes,
TV?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Still is today too. Always.
And that's your first. Is that your first love, Dominic? Is the theater?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't do films until after a good 21, 22 years in theater. You know.
Right.
So Godfather was my first film. I had no idea how to do a film. I didn't understand the craft or anything like that. I learned on Godfather. In fact, he had to do a big scene once because I didn't know how to answer the cues.
Wow. When you started doing television, let's say in the 60s, did anyone encourage you to go out west, to go out to Los Angeles, or was it...
A lot of actors went there. They told me about it, but I didn't know how to drive, so I didn't go.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, I never drove until I was 51 years old, until the 80s.
That's crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, besides, I didn't really want to go because, I had my kids. I had, by that time, in the 80s, I already had, five children.
I've got a great story about with Dominic. He and I were one time driving down to Philadelphia to see a concert. Brother, Where Art Thou? That whole concert series. And I picked him up in Newark because I live near Newark.
Oh, yeah, that's a great story.
Remember that, Dominic? I picked Dominic up in Newark. And
you had your brother's car.
Yeah, I had my brother's car, and I was double parked, and a cop came up to my car. And,
not a cop, a state trooper.
Oh, it was a state trooper, and he said, hey, he was going to give me a ticket.
Right.
I looked at the state trooper. I said, look who's sitting next to me, and it was the height of the Sopranos.
Right.
And then he looks over, he goes, Uncle Junior.
That's right. Saved. No, he was going to take the car away because you didn't have... You didn't have the onus.
God, you're right. I blocked that out.
Yeah, well, of course you would.
They were going to take the car away. That's when I said, that's when I nudged you. I said, let him take a look at me. And then he looked in, and he changes demeanor altogether, yeah.
It's true, he didn't. We gave him an autographed picture. We had one in the car.
So now that we're talking about Sopranos, arguably, in my opinion, in addition, the greatest drama show that was ever appeared on television. How did David Chase find you, and how did that happen?
Well, I guess it was I had done Gotti for HBO before that, and I don't know who cast Gotti, but
was that the one with Armand Asante as Gotti?
Yes. In fact, Armand, I owe it to Armand really
right.
because he got me into the show because
you got
the
24-year-old
casting agent who's a big casting agent now said Dominic doesn't look like a crook. You know, he does look like a gangster, she said. That's what they told my agent. And that pissed me off. And I said, I was a consigliere first. I wasn't a hitman. But, you know, it's such a cliche. So I said to Armand, you got to get me into the show. He said, what do you mean? Of course you're going to get it. You're terrific for this part, the consigliere. I said, yeah, but they said, she said I wasn't. So he used his influence, and I got in.
Oh, that's great.
So through the Gotti, I think, but maybe that's where Georgiana and Sheila, you know, where they
cast you.
The casting people, yeah.
They were
Walker, Georgiana Walker.
This is Christopher Walken's right.
Right, sure.
Yeah,
they were
Georgiana Walker. She's a very good casting agent, and I already had the record of being on theater, and I was the right age, the whole bit, you know. I just went in and I auditioned, and I did the front. I got a call back, and I thought that David Chase was crazy.
Why?
I read the audition scene, I said, this guy's nuts. I'm telling my sister-in-law that we're going to kill her son, my nephew. I said,
right.
Italians don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? So,
right, exactly. I mean,
I said, this must be Greek drama.
Well, there was.
Sure enough, it was.
It was.
It was. I mean, to me, more than Greek drama, it was very Shakespearean how the character.
Yeah, he deals with the heavy stuff, you know.
Very heavy stuff.
I have a funny story about that.
Tell us.
I was going to Rayo's one time to get. I was invited to sing. I think with Frankie Pellegrino, who played one of the FBI guy.
Yes.
He said, "Dom, bring the guitar. We'll sing some Monday night." So I'm going there, and as I was passing these four Italian ladies sitting on 114th Street, one of them spots me. She goes and she yells out, "You! Why did you shoot your nephew?"
Yeah.
And I said to her, well, was I in my right mind when I shot him? She says, no. And I said, well, there's your answer. I'm done. Did you really? It was a great moment. One of those great moments.
Did you know the first season when you were, you know, acting with Nancy Marchant and the rest of it? Did you know that this was going to be, you know, what it turned out to be, the greatest drama in TV history?
Well, we heard from David Chase that all the critics loved it.
Right.
And then we realized, yeah, then we know. We didn't know as we shot it, though, and we were shooting it. But by the time we did the fifth episode of the first season,
right.
We knew. The critics went nuts.
Right. You had unbelievable chemistry with the other characters, particularly with,
Nancy.
Yes, Nancy, but also in the scenes with James Gandolfini.
And Jimmy, yeah. Jimmy and I hit it off right. I had done a movie with him, I wasn't acting with him, but we had done a movie with Sidney Lumet's movie Night Falls on Manhattan.
Right.
Sure. I played a judge, Jimmy played a cop, and it's the first time we knew each other, but when David Chase said, this is the man playing your uncle, he was very happy, and I was very happy. You know, we hit it off right away.
I mean, he was sort of an odd person to cast in the lead on an HBO drama show that was sort of an unknown in a way to the public.
Well, according to what I learned, Jimmy didn't want to do it. He thought he wasn't a leading man type of, but he's perfect, you know.
He was perfect.
So right for
it. I mean,
he even had what I call the aesthetic weight, which I learned in Brooklyn College, that you can be great for a role, but if somebody can do it and weighs 300 pounds more than you, it's an aesthetic weight that's on the stage, you know, depending on the character. And look how big he is, you know, because there are other actors of Redford that could act just about as good as Jimmy. But Jimmy was also a big guy.
Right,
right.
And had presence. Sensitivity. I mean, he had it all.
Was he like that off? I mean, he was, you know, volatile and you know, laugh one scene, you know, and put you up against the wall and, you know, in the neck, and, you know, a second later. What was he like off camera?
On set?
Yeah, on set.
Yeah, exactly. He was like a regular guy. I mean, he's like, you know, he could do that, make you laugh. He would laugh at sometimes the things that Uncle Junior, he put a mask on me, he would start laughing. he kidded around, you know. But he always came through when it came to the scene. It wasn't even like acting, working with him and with Nancy. I mean, she was so natural with me. We just loved each other.
You were so bad.
We never had a better word to each other.
Scheming to kill your nephew.
But Dominic, so it's so interesting. So Edie Falco, too, right? I mean, just somebody who literally embodies the character. You guys were so... I mean, that's what was so famous about this show is that they embodied these characters in such a way that...
Well, David Chase had to mix people up that, you know, that had acted, that, you know... That
right.
And then he brought people on like, Van Zandt, you know, who hadn't performed and never acted before. To play,
right, but it works.
It works. It works. It all works.
It works if the person does do what they want to do. You know, it's stereotypical stuff. You know, but it worked.
I mean,
it
almost worked. Every single character. They even had Frankie Valli was a character on the show. I mean,
they're not going to give Valli a long monologue. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But Jimmy and Nancy and Edie and Michael they carried the show. Right. They carried the show.
Well, I don't think you should. I think some would say that you carried the show.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
that
were pivotal.
You Dominic,
was
remember
a comic relief, I think.
No, but we used to always
all the good lines.
Yeah, you had the good lines, but you always were waiting to see what you were going to do.
Yeah, well, yeah, because she was. He always wanted to be the cop. Well, my favorite scene was when Jimmy tells me, "You're going to be made. You know, you're going to be the captain."
Right.
That was because Jimmy even said to me,
"I remember
that it's going to work." But the scene worked beautifully.
Well, there was
I was surprised when I saw it.
Well, there was the scene at the funeral where you're sitting there, and then Jimmy's over on the side saying to the other guys, "We're going to make him the capo, but I'm really going to run everything." Right.
You know? That's right. Yeah. Well, because
the pride he had,
I trusted him. Yeah, I trusted him. Right. That's why I wanted to kill him, because I trusted him, and he turned, you know.
Yes.
He turned on you. But, you know, his Dominic's characters in so many of his roles, he's always played a pivotal role.
Yeah, totally.
It was always that character. We used to talk about that and say, Dominic, you're the pivotal guy in all of this.
I mean, you're acting, you know, and I'm not saying this to flatter you, but I'm just telling you because it's true. Your acting was so good that it was hard to tell whether you were, as a character, were faking it or not. In the last scene, the last show where you're in the nursing home, and he's trying to get the stash from you, I couldn't tell whether I couldn't tell whether you knew what he was saying and were trying to deflect it, or you really were suffering.
That's how he wrote the script. David wanted the people to keep guessing. But by the end, he lost it. He was completely gone. Yeah. He really didn't remember.
I know, but the one telltale giveaway was when he said, you know, you and my father were in North Jersey, and you said, that's nice.
Yeah, he's gone by that time.
Yeah,
He had a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
So David has a great sense of humor.
You're Uncle Junior for six seasons. I mean, that gives you a lot of hours, you know, to develop a character. Was there an inspiration for Uncle Junior's character for you? Was it modeled after somebody, or did it just, you know, develop over time?
I think it came because I think I used my own roots of the Bronx. I must have used my father's and my uncle, my father and my uncle, because they had that Bronx thing where that practical attitude toward life where, you know, everything was important, your food, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They're not gonna argue. It's what street smart, that kind of thing,
right.
You know. Yeah,
I mean,
and that helped me because I and my father always had. They were very good at throwing wisecracks too, you know.
Right.
You know, and being in the sons of immigrants in first generation, there was a very deep, dark, slow burning anger underneath it all because they couldn't get where they wanted to go. My father could have been an architect, but he had to go to work when he was 15. There was something there that informed the relationships, you know. But they were good family men. Mm-hmm. And Uncle Junior, you know, even though he never married, he believed in that local, that neighborhood thing. He believed in that.
Sure.
Dominic, how did they work music with your character into the show? How did that come about?
I think David. Oh yeah, it came about because I was at Lorraine Bracco's house one time. They had a party, I think in the second season it was, and her father was Italian. I was singing Neapolitan songs to him with my guitar on a quiet place at Lorena. And David came over to me and said, "What is that song you're singing?" I said, "It's called Cor in Grado." He said, "What does that line mean? Tu non pensa su dolore mio." I said, "It means that you're not thinking about my pain." He said, "Oh, that's interesting." A year later, he put it into the script.
Amazing.
That's really amazing.
Which is amazing because he was smart. He realized, well, David and I always had a thing about because I knew more about the Italian culture. Because I'm 20 years older than him.
the characters singing in the third season, right? It was the finale of the third season in the restaurant.
I forget.
Yeah, in the restaurant where you...
Yeah, when they asked me to sing a song and I don't want to... Then I, it was a funeral, actually. Yeah.
That's right. It's after
David's
the funeral.
Sense of dark humor. That really shows you that, because in real life, the grandfathers and the old-timers would sing at weddings.
Right,
you would
right.
never sing at a funeral, you know?
Right.
So David's sense of humor... So he has Uncle Junior with a couple of glasses of wine, and then Vinnie Curatolo, Johnny Sachs's wife, said, "Come on, sing, sing." And I said, "I don't want to sing." Yeah, you know, grumpy old bastard that he was.
Right.
But then he gets up and he sings, "Oh, I love singing," you know. And he sings Corte Grata, which kind of closes the season. And Jimmy realized, you know, it's like Jimmy's predicament. The kids right. are ungrateful. He has a fight with his daughter.
Right.
You know, the idea was Ungrateful Heart. That's the name of the song.
Right, and the kids were ungrateful, both of them,
they're
AJ
ungrateful.
And the...
You know, they're ungrateful for what the father's trying to do.
Right.
So that's I mean, that's the metaphor. That's the theme of the show.
And, what was always great about the show is it would be interesting, even if it wasn't about a crime family and the mob.
That's the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about the human. It always right. played the two families together. The legit normal family and the crime family. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
So you since
yeah, which is very interesting. I thought that was brilliant.
It was completely brilliant. So you've. How do you pick what you do now? I mean, you've had some. You were on The Good Wife. You played the judge on that for a few episodes. How do you pick what you do now?
No, I'll take almost anything that I like. You know, I get scripts from people, but they want me to do plays. But I can tell when if it's good or not. If it's a real character there. Now I'm waiting. I'm still like the beginning. I'm waiting for somebody to say, "You've got to hit a good part, Dominic." You know, but I don't get the offers. You know, people said I should have got heavier agents, but I don't change.
No. Dominic, you know what I love about Dominic, though, is when after season three of The Sopranos and the music really starts to develop, and this is one of his first passions, and from there, we all started banding together, my brother, Dominic, his whole crew of musicians that he's played with over the years.
And yeah, we're still doing it.
And he's still doing
right.
it.
Right. Well, it was one of the, again, it was one of the early shows that really music was integral to the plot in every show.
Well, the show set milestone, you know, set the what's the word? The bar.
The precedent.
The precedent for music, integration of music into the program, amazing casting, great writing. That's why this whole thing, this ensemble.
Right.
Went so far, and this show became, you know, what it is, which is probably the best TV show of all time.
There's no question about it.
But Dominic, back to the music thing. So that being your true passion, or one of your first passions, you really started to play out more, and you put your band together. But correct me if I'm wrong. You still will go to nursing homes, and you'll play for the residents.
I started a foundation. I'm the president of it because now I'm teaching, and my father was right. I'm a teacher, so now I go around teaching people how to go into a nursing home and entertain the people, put them in a room, create a theater, bring the theater to them. You know,
beautiful.
Because that's exactly what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to raise money for that. And I want to proliferate every state with somebody with a guitar or ukulele who can be portable. And do what I do. It's hard to find the right kind of people because it's not that simple. It looks easy, but it isn't. There's a technique to it, and I call it the Zaranti method, because everybody has to get into the act, you know.
Sure,
but you've been.
This is my passion now, and I concentrate that. I think I found a donor.
Good.
We're working now to get money every year so that I can teach that. That's important.
What's the name of the foundation?
Joy Through Art Foundation.
Joy through Art.
You're bringing them joy through the art of theater and music.
Beautiful. And you. And how can people get in touch with you if they want to contribute or learn
anybody
more?
Wants to contribute can call me at home. they call me at home. I've given up on the my laptop. My wife has her own laptop.
Right.
It takes too much time out of my life. It's very addictive, so I shut it about 2 months ago.
I gave him his first laptop.
And I will never go back to it. My wife doesn't know that yet, so I'm going to talk very short.
Remember I gave you your first laptop in the late 90s from BMG? You had,
yes.
Remember that? He was like, he was going on AOL.
Right.
He had an AOL
account.
Wow. AOL.
No, I don't have an email anymore. They want to get in touch with me, they can call me at home, and I'll tell them where to send a check.
All right. Tell us the address, first of all. So Joy Through Art Foundation.
Joy Through Art. It's on 1441 Broadway, suite number 3090. New York, 10018. Joy Through Art Foundation, Incorporated. And if they want to talk to me and tell me that they sent a check, I'd be happy to give my home number, the one you're just calling now.
Okay.
I don't care.
I'll give you. Don't
that's
care.
That's how they can do it. We also have a website, but
what is that?
If
Dominic.
They put my name in and say DominicChianese.net. They'll find out. Okay. We have a nice website. New York One just did a whole story on us.
Oh, good.
That's good.
Yeah.
So
we're going to eventually. It's going to happen. We're going to get some big donor, and it's going to be annual. And, you know. I'll be teaching things, and it's going to be my legacy, Scott.
But I know it will be, but I want the audience to know. You've been playing the nursing homes for how many years? You started that when?
Since 82. Over 30 years.
Wow. 30, and every week. He does it every week, and then every Wednesday morning you have you go to the deli and you do a concert?
Oh, at the grocery store, yeah. Every Friday morning.
Okay.
Every Friday morning for years now. It's about 7 years we've been doing it. And, but I go to the nursing home myself. That's how I develop my technique of how I'm going to teach other people, you know.
Sure.
I go to Mary Manning Walsh every Sunday for 2 hours. I'm trying to find people who can do it.
Right.
They do it the right way. They have, you know, we're going to start in New York and then it's going to spread. We just need the money.
Well, you know what? Your next state will be Montana,
yes.
Okay? And listen.
Yeah, I'd come out there because we can find
we're going to invite you out here.
But if somebody makes some... let me say this, fella. It's a pure charity. It's got nothing to do with business.
Right.
Every dollar we get goes right to the performer. Right. And I'm going to keep it that way. That's what it's all
That's
about.
That's good.
It's pure.
So you have you have
charity. It's not a business. It's a public charity.
Good. And, that's really good.
But look at all the people I'm going to put to work.
That's true.
That's really a big thing.
Working musicians.
Right. So you have a birthday coming up. Nick
does?
Yes, he has a birthday coming up.
Oh. Exactly in 8 days, I'll be 85.
85. So what's your plan for, is this what your plan is? This foundation is what you're going to commit yourself to? Is this what you enjoy doing the most at this point in your life?
Yes, at this point in my life, I'm doing that. Yeah, I mean, I'll never give up acting or singing. I enjoy that. But this point in my life, this is going to be it. But still, if Steven Spielberg calls me, I'm going to have a great part for you. I'm going to, you know, I can still do it.
Yeah, of course you can. Know. I mean, Eli Wallach, you know, did it to what? I was almost 100 years old practically, and so did George Burns. You got a long career ahead of you.
I think so.
So let me ask you this:
anyway.
Of all the people you work with, is there an actor that stands out the most that you really enjoyed working with? That you thought this guy or this woman was, you know, wow. You know, a wow experience.
Well, Pacino number one, John Lithgow, Pacino, Raul Julia,
right.
Who's gone.
Right, all great actors.
But they're all great actors. And George C. Scott, George nodded his head in 63 when I did, on the second take, I nailed the character because he has to come into the room. It looks kind of, you know, like, you know, it looks at George. And I remember that little bit. And George looked at me and said, hey. You know, later I said, thank you. He said, let's do it again. But of course, I never saw him again after that.
Wow.
I wasn't, you know, he went to Hollywood, became a major star.
I mean, people don't realize. I remember seeing Al Pacino in the Circle in the Square Theater and down the Village doing American Buffalo live.
Yeah.
And that was so riveting to see.
Oh, he's riveting. I did a play with Al, just him and I, two-character play called Chinese Coffee. One of the highlights of my life. Pacino is an incredible actor.
Very gifted.
Incredible actor. We had to rehearse only 4 hours a day because it was so intense, you know?
Sure.
You know, and it's little anecdote, but not even a little anecdote. All of Dominic's friends, who are his fellow acting friends, always supported him in his music. And these guys always supported each other in their endeavors. So right. Dominic...
Yes.
Right, Dominic? Like, he would be playing...
Yes, always. We go on tour with Richard III. I used to take the guitar, and after the show, I'd get everybody to sing. That was always been a talent of mine, to get everybody to sing.
Well, that's good. That's,
you know, with the guitar. Good. And that's, that turned into joy through art, too. But that changed my life. It makes you happy. When you make people happy through music, you become happy. To me, that's a passion. That's a gift.
Well, anyone
but I was
wants...
taught that as a child.
Well, anyone...
Don't forget, fellas, I was the first grandson in a big Italian family.
Yeah.
Right. I was a prince. I could do no wrong.
Well,
you know,
the first
I mean?
One can be that way.
The first one can be very, very, he thinks that he has a great sense of confidence. And you know, it makes you, what's the word, persistent.
Right.
That you don't give up easy.
Right. Is there a part in your career you wish you would have gotten that you thought you could have nailed that you didn't get for some reason?
Yeah, Don Quixote. I would love to have played Don Quixote.
I can see that. I can see that would be a great role.
I even look like Don Quixote.
Well, you get younger looking all the time, so you can come back and do that.
Well, I'd like to do Fagin again.
That's a good role. That's what you did. That's what you did in Oliver, right? You played that role in Oliver. You played that role in Oliver.
Yeah, I played that not on Broadway. I did it on a tour, and then I did it at Summer Stock. I went on for Robin. Who I'm going to see, by the way, he's coming into New York. I'm going to see him after all these years. He's coming and we're going to hang out. Robin Ramsey played Fagin. He was like 27 years old.
Wonderful.
He was great. Wow. Now he's 78, I think. So we're going to get together after all these years.
That'll be good.
He's come from Sydney, Australia. He's coming into town. I can't wait to meet him.
Look.
I still do the song from Oliver.
when you perform? Yeah.
Reviewing the situation. Yeah.
Yes, I know that song. It's a good song.
But Dominic also has a great way, a great ear for Yiddish theater and music, and he can do a mean Hava Nagila.
Well, you're the youngest guy that's going to be 85 that I've ever talked to.
He's incredible.
You're unbelievable.
I'm young, I'm young.
Hey, young in spirit, young in heart.
I want to tell you one thing. We took him once to Graceland to play at Graceland. He was a fan of pop music and country music growing up.
Yeah, I sang at the Grand Ole Opry.
And he sang at the Grand Ole
Opry. That's fantastic.
Country music is his thing. Dominic, you know what? We have to come out here, and you'll do it on behalf.
I know. I want to get on the radio. Are you kidding? Radio is my thing. My father spent 80 hard-earned Brooklyn Lane dollars in 1940,
yes.
43. I was 12 years old, right? Or 14, or it must have been 45, you know, because somebody on Broadway said, "Did your son want to be on the radio?" My father, and so I went down, my father, and, you know, and it was a scam, really, basically. It didn't work out. But I've always said, someday I want to get back on the radio and dedicate this to my father. So I called up somebody at Sirius Radio, and they think I just want to be on the show. No, I would love to do radio.
Right.
You'd be perfect
for it. Yeah, I really would.
You really would.
He should have his own show.
Right.
And he could do a 2-hour show where he actually curates music that he grew up with, and that he loves, and even new music that he loves. Right. One question, though. So country musicians love him. Everyone knows him, right? So when he used to go down to Nashville, they all knew him from The Sopranos.
Right. So where are you performing next so people can go see you live, sing, and perform?
Well, I'm going to be at the Friars Club March 1st. We're doing a little show there.
Great.
At the Friars.
Terrific.
A bunch of Friars. I'm writing it up and doing a show, doing stuff, doing some singing and teaching and coaching some of the younger actors.
Dominic.
I'm keeping busy, fellas. That's the secret.
He's keeping very busy. Dominic introduced me to Abe Vigoda when I used to go with him to have lunch at the Friars. And Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, what a sweetheart.
How old was he? Was 94, right?
He just turned, he would have been 95. We had the same birthday, February 24th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two great characters, Tessio and Fish.
Yeah, the Fish, yeah.
Dominic, I'm going to Florida tomorrow to see my dad. He's 89. It's his birthday.
Where is he? What part?
Boca.
He's in Boca? I may be going down to Miami for this donor. We may have a big benefit down there to make some money for the thing.
Really? Good.
And how's he feeling, Pop?
He's doing good. His hearing is not as good.
He's a tough guy, your father.
I know, but you know, when you go down there, thank you. When you go down there, let me know and let Danny know. Danny's my brother.
I know your brother.
I will. Yeah, I'll know. I may go to Miami, because we're going to do a benefit this year. I know that.
You know what?
They're going to raise some money for me. This guy's in the hotel business, and he's going to raise some money for Joy Through Art. So everything is happening right.
Well, good. This has been a, this has been such a wonderful conversation. I feel like we caught up.
I'll come out
to Montana if you. If the station has enough money to pay for my way, I'll come out. Yeah.
We'll get you. No, that's what we're going to figure out. We'll get you here.
Transportation put me up for a couple of years. I'd love to come out there and maybe, how country music started? Country music started in 1927 because of the radio, you know.
Of course.
Right.
I used to listen to it with my father when I was a child. Lying on the floor listening to WSM coming from Chicago or someplace.
Yeah, AM.
You know.
Right, AM radio.
So I'll come on as Uncle Junior, the cowboy singer.
Dominic, we'll get you out of here. I talked to Danny.
The Bronx Kid, Arnie.
The Bronx Kid.
Let's do it for the Bronx.
You and I can do it together for the Bronx, for the Bronx Bombers.
You sing, Arnie?
And not really.
But you know what? You love Arnie because Arnie's my neighbor.
Too. I whistle very good. Willie Nelson always calls me to whistle. Let me call your sweetheart.
That's a good one.
I really whistle it.
You want to give a little whistle?
You give us a little whistle and let me call you a sweetheart. We're going to put you on the spot.
That's a beautiful
thing.
It's real whistling, yeah.
I know, it's real. Really always... Nobody does that anymore.
That without taking a drink of water. You got to wet your whistle, you know that.
Well, this has been wonderful. Dominic's Foundation.
Thank you.
Joy Through Art. You can contribute to Joy Through Art by sending a contribution to 1441 Broadway, Suite 3090, New York, New York, 10018. You can also find him on DominicChianasi.net. That's DominicChianasi.net. And if you want to call him, Dominic, I'm not giving your number because who knows? You can reach me here at the station and I'll give you his number. I don't want you to.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
And Dominic, I love you and thank you so much for coming on.
It's been
on
fantastic.
The show.
It's great meeting you this way. Look forward to seeing you out here in Montana visiting us soon.
Arnie, I'll try to come out. Really, I'll make time.
We'd
Scott,
love
I miss
it.
You, and I love you too.
All right,
take
but
care,
fellas.
Take care. Bye bye.
Wasn't that wonderful?
He's fantastic. I mean, 85 going on 35.
He's such a sweet man. And excuse me, I'm off mic. And he is who he says he is. He makes no bones about it. He said, "Hey, if I had gotten a better agent, I would have been da 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 da." But then we wouldn't be talking to him
right now. Exactly.
He may not have been in The Sopranos. So
that's
you don't
true.
Know.
That's true. One of the great characters of all time. One of the nicest guys you could ever talk to. As you know him for the last 18 years. Terrific guy.
I can't wait for him to come here, and we'll send him up. We'll do a whole big country thing. The country meets the Bronx. He'll stay with us.
We've got to get him a radio show. He'd be great. He has such great stories. He remembers everybody. And everybody, he knows everybody.
He knows everybody. And you guys have a kindred spirit. You've connected even before you've met.
Well, that was because of you.
No, but that's just beautiful.
But a great guy. And, obviously I'm a big Sopranos fan. And he was in my life for 86 weeks.
I know. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Talk about must-see TV. That was the last of the must-see TV. You didn't want to DVR. You had to watch it at 8 o'clock. Was it 8 o'clock on Sunday nights?
Night. Yeah. If anybody hasn't seen the series, there's some young folks that work that I work with and come in contact with. I almost require them to go and go online and watch, episodes of it. And once they start, they don't stop because it becomes in your blood for the very reason you talked about. Didn't matter whether it was a crime family story.
Right.
The dynamics of all the characters were human dynamics that anybody could relate to.
So you couldn't have said it any better. That is that's a great way to end the show. And
right.
Thank you, Dominic, for reaching for being on the air with us. Remember, his foundation is Joy Through Art. It's about bringing music to nursing homes around the country, and the funding goes into paying the musicians to teach people how to. especially in the later years of their life, how to enjoy themselves and express themselves through music. Joy Through Art, 1441 Broadway, New York, New York, 10018, or DominicChianese.net. Email me if you want his phone number if you're serious about making a contribution. And Arnie, we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Scott.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.